A warm welcome to Church Online today. My name is Lynn and I'm the minister at Adelaide West. When you see this, I'll be on leave for a week. One of the benefits of pre-recorded is that I can welcome you a week ahead. So today we have the Reverend Ian Kitto, a retired Uniting Church minister, who'll be sharing the message, and we look forward to that. As we do each week, we light a candle. And we do that remembering that Christ is with us, the presence of God as we gather together in this way. And I invite you to light a candle at home as well. If you're involved in a school in some way, as a student, teacher or staff, I hope you're feeling refreshed as we begin the school term. And for each of you, may this service bless you today as we worship together.
Reading from Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, ill-treated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burnt their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us begin with prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, open our ears and our hearts to hear your word for us today. For Jesus' sake. Amen. For many are invited, but few are chosen. What's that mean? What's this parable that Jesus told about a wedding banquet all about? It begins with a king preparing a wedding feast for his son, and then sending his servants out to the invited guests, telling them to come, but the guests refused to come. Can you imagine getting an invitation to attend a royal wedding like Charles and Diana's or William and Kate's, but you say, nah, I don't think I'll go? How rude would that be? To not go to the royal wedding, the social event of several decades. Well, the king sends out some more servants and tells them to say, the meat's all ready for the barbecue, the decorations are in place, come to the wedding banquet. But the invited guests still say, nope, I'm not going. I've got better things to do. And some of them even murder the messengers. The king is livid. He sends off the army to destroy the murderers in their city. Now that sounds harsh today, but kings did that 2,000 years ago. Well, the king sends off more minions to the streets to invite anyone you can find to come to the wedding feast. So at the feast, there are all sorts of people, good and bad, the deserving and the undeserving. In fact, most of them don't deserve to be there. They don't come from the good families. They're not in with the temple crowd. But whether they're good or bad, off they go to the party. Now, there's more to the parable, but let's pause for a moment here. This parable is set in the temple when the chief priests and the elders are trying to trick Jesus. So he tells them a number of parables, including this one. And it's fairly clear that the priests and the elders soon work out that this is directed at them. And they understand that the king is God, that Jesus is the Son, and the invited guests, the good deserving ones who don't turn up, that's them. They also know enough history to work out that when the king sends the army, that was a reference to God's judgment when their ancestors, years earlier, had ignored God's messengers, the prophets, and God had sent the Babylonians to destroy the temple and Jerusalem. It was a sign of God's judgment, and the Jews still weren't coming to the party. So in the parable, the king invites anyone you can find to come. These people on the street corners were very undeserving. They'd have been dirty and smelly and included prostitutes and sinners, the lame and the blind and the poor, the homeless and the sick. These were all people who were excluded from the temple. But the king gives a very inclusive invitation. The Jews saw themselves as being quite special in God's eyes, but this parable turns everything upside down. It's all these undeserving sinners and Gentiles or non-Jews who get to go to the king's son's wedding party. It's like the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, which also said foreigners are invited. And they're accepted too. But just to be clear, one point in the parable of the wedding feast is that everyone is invited. Whether we think we're deserving like the Jews, or we think we're undeserving like Samaritans and other foreigners, or sinners like prostitutes and adulterers, or the blind, lame or deformed. But it's not enough to be invited. We have to actually show up and participate. Well, back to the parable. While everyone is finally enjoying themselves at the king's wedding banquet, the king walks around and sees one person who is not wearing proper wedding clothes. That man is speechless when the king says, "What gives?" and asks him, "How did you get in without wearing the proper clothes?" And the king gets him tied up and thrown outside into the darkness, which sounds a bit harsh as well. But remember, these people who were at the wedding feast had come straight off the streets. Many of them would have been very poor, and so their clothes were nothing like the kind of good clothes that we would wear to a wedding, whether they're very formal suits and frocks or neat casual dress. So where did these guests get their wedding garments from? Well, in Jesus' day, wedding garments were provided by the wedding host and given to every guest. So if a guest isn't wearing the proper outfit, they either refused to put it on or they soon took it off. In either case, that's a real insult to the host. So it's no wonder that the king had his rude guest tied up and thrown out. Or to put it in a way that Jesus' hearers would have understood, if we don't obey our heavenly king, we'll get sent far away from God to the darkness of hell, with all of its anguish of weeping and gnashings of teeth. People still give excuses today. They avoid Christianity by saying they've got better things to do. They don't need that crutch, or they're too busy with work or family or making money or going off on a holiday. Their leisure and pleasure matters far more to them than their relationship with Jesus. And they'll ridicule an invitation to receive Jesus by faith and will refuse to put on the wedding garment provided by God. They refuse to put on God's gift of faith in Jesus. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." When we put on or clothe ourselves with Christ, we're accepting this free gift of a new relationship with Jesus, not as something we deserve because of our qualifications or credentials, like being born in the right family, and nor is it something that we've earned by being a good, well-behaved, law-abiding citizen. It's God's free gift to us. If we choose to reject Jesus, that's like us standing before God, not in the good wedding garment that God gives us when we in faith by grace put on Christ, but standing before God in our own stained, filthy rags that we have just because we're all sinful human beings. You know, our sin can be really comfortable, like the pair of comfortable old worn jeans or Ugg boots with holes in them that we find really difficult to throw away. Sin is also so comfortable that it's also really difficult to throw away. In ourselves, we are powerless to change. The good news is that by the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us, our hearts can change. The qualification for getting into the kingdom of heaven is actually our repentance and our obedience to God. And the wedding garment of faith that we put on covers over the filth of our own attempts to be good or good enough. Some years ago, a sociologist called Tony Campolo wrote a book called The Kingdom of God is a Party, after an experience he had late one night in Hawaii. Now, he couldn't sleep, so he went out and found a nearby cafe still open at 3:30 a.m. And as he had a coffee and a donut, a bunch of provocative and boisterous prostitutes came in and sat around him. And Campolo felt quite out of place with all their crude talk. And then he heard one of them say, "Tomorrow's my birthday. I'm going to be 39. And as the other women said nasty things to her, she said, "But I've never had a birthday party in my whole life." And Tony Campolo decided to throw a surprise birthday party for Agnes, for that was her name, the next day. So he arranged it with the shopkeeper, and by 3:30 a.m. the next day, the coffee shop was decorated, there was a cake with candles ready, and so when Agnes came in, everyone screamed, "Happy birthday!" And as they sang that to her and brought out the cake, she lost it. And then she said with tears in her eyes, "Can I take the cake home?" Okay. And so she picked it up very carefully and walked out. And everyone sat in stunned silence. And Campolo said, "What do you say we pray?" It was a bit strange, but it felt right. And so he prayed for Agnes. And then the shopkeeper said, "Hey, you didn't say you were a preacher. What kind of church do you belong to?" And in one of those moments, Campolo said, "I belong to a church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes at 3:30 in the morning." That's the kind of church that Jesus came to create. It's also the kind of church that we get when people put on or clothe themselves with Christ. Now, birthday parties and wedding feasts are not exactly the same, but they're close. And everyone has been invited or called to come to God's party, even prostitutes. But clearly, not everyone is on board with that. Some of us will celebrate with everything we've got. Others will hang around the edges, just being a bit lukewarm. Some of us will falsely imagine that we can fix things ourselves by our own efforts, and we'll reject God's invitation. But if we respond to God's invitation with repentance and committed, obedient faith, we'll find a deep joy. And when we wholeheartedly give 100% of our obedience and faith to Jesus, and everything that we accept that Jesus offers, that's what it means to not just be invited, but to be chosen. Chosen to put on the proper virtues and the proper wedding garments. Chosen to bear much fruit and to do things like throw parties for prostitutes at 3:30 in the morning. Let's pray together. Today, merciful and gracious God, may we hear afresh the invitation to come to Jesus, not because we deserve to or have earned the right to that, but because Jesus invites everyone to come. By the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, may we accept that invitation and in obedience repent and turn our lives around as one of Christ's chosen ones. Help us to put on the garment of Christ, to rejoice in the Lord, and not just think about, but put into practice whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. Today we pray for people who are fearful of change, those who are anxious about what it means to be changed by Jesus, and those who are still trying to earn his grace and forgiveness. We know that many changes have happened this year, and often those changes have not been of our choosing, but due to health concerns and financial stresses and the consequences of immense shifts in global conditions. Give us the confidence to trust in your guidance, O God. Give us the patience to wait for and adapt to the new normal. And give us the hope that life will soon be different and better. And as we pause to think of our loved ones and friends who need your help, hope and healing, guide us and guide them confidently into our futures. We honour you for your blessings, asking that they will transform the lives of all of us. Help us daily to put on Christ, to be faithful in all our relationships, and generous in our support of the needy. And may the God of peace be with us always. Amen.
Justice bow to Jesus as the people turn and pray from the mountain to the valleys. Hear our praises rise to our prayer.
Thank you for joining us in this service. We hope you felt connected with others and with God. Thanks to Ian for bringing us the message today. Thank you too for your gifts and offerings. We pray that these gifts and our lives will share God's love in our world. This week is Anti-Poverty Week, where all in Australian community are encouraged to have an increased understanding of poverty and to take action collectively to end it. Let's be thinking and praying about that this week. Also encourage you to continue the Less to Landfill October. Encourage you to reach out and connect with others. And prayer is always available, ring or email. We remember that we are called, invited and chosen, and we respond to Jesus with diligence and being faithful. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the friendship, fellowship and unity of the Holy Spirit be with each of you today and each day as you go out to serve God's world. Amen.